Everybody, it's good to see each of you here tonight. We're using our 101 books. Let's turn to song number 49 to start with. Song number 49. If you're able to stand, let's do so on this song.
Thank you for meeting with us, Lord, and making church real. Lord, we can come here and say a few words and leave, Lord, but if you don't meet with us and we don't get to meet with you, there's no point, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your presence. Lord, we ask that you'd be with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the pastor as he preaches. Pray that you'd speak through him, Lord, and that you'd give us a message that would prick our hearts, Lord, that would challenge us, Lord, to be more like Christ. Lord, help us to walk with you each day as we go throughout our week. Help us to draw nigh to you, Lord. We know that you'll draw nigh to us also. Lord, I pray you keep us safe as we travel home. Lord, and that you would just bless the rest of this evening. And we thank you for all that you do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated. Our next song in the one book is number 52. Pastor was talking about resting in what God has done for us, and that's what we're going to be singing about now. with announcements. We got so busy this morning that we forgot to mention the birthdays that are this week. So, Pastor, one of them, and Sam, and then we also want to remember Sister Janet. Obviously, she hasn't been able to be with us for a long time. She has mental and physical struggles that really have created a real problem for her. She can't go out anymore, and her son Mark does his best to take care of her, but we just need to pray for her and the struggles that she faces on a daily basis. So let's sing Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. We purposely kept it quiet until now. There is a special celebration after the service downstairs in honor of Pastor's birthday. All right. So following the service, come on downstairs and we'll have a short time of fellowship. Obviously, I know a lot of us have other things we have to get to tonight, but hopefully you can stay for a little while and have some fun and some fellowship, and you can thank the Lord for bringing our pastor and his family to us. So, all right, that's all I have for right now. Pastor, go ahead and continue with what you have.
It didn't work. Sorry, Brother Sam, threw you on the bus, brother, but yeah, I tried not to do the birthday thing this morning. I know your birthday's this week, so yeah. Didn't work. Amen. So you got me, Melanie? You good? All right. So I want to bring this up specifically to the church family. And I have her, hopefully the mic's muted. If it's not, then they'll hear anyways. I'm going to leave that little wicker basket back there on that table for tonight, Wednesday, and then all of next Sunday for a love offering for Brother Les and Sister Nancy. So if the Lord lays it upon your heart to put something in there, I'm going to leave it there through this coming week. They're really going through it. I mean, most of you know that. Miss Donna was over there yesterday. I came over last night or late afternoon. They just need a lot of prayer and then just some financial struggles as well with what he's going through and the situation he's in, being as sick as he is. So I, just as like church, I'd just like to take up a special love offering for him, to help out specifically really for the medical bills that they're facing, to be able to help out just a little bit with what they're going through. So if the Lord does lay it on your heart to put something back in there again, I'll try to get it over to him about a week and a half. But continue to please pray for them and what he's fighting with that cancer. And that's about all I have for for those that weren't here this morning, Lord willing, we'll put up a new cleaning list for the month of August. Hopefully I'll have that up next Sunday. So with a list of things that the church does, what we do with the church as far as cleaning goes, and if you'd like to clean the church, you can sign up for that. And then also, unless I forget, Wednesday too, Brother Lance told me he's having heart surgery next Thursday. I guess he had a heart attack this past week or two. So keep him in prayer. He had a problem with his insurance getting in for the procedure, so it got approved. He told me this morning to ask if I could bring it up for prayer. So keep Brother Lance in prayer until that nothing happens till next Thursday when they can do that next procedure for him. So just pray for him that his heart will be fine until next Thursday till they can go in and do that procedure for him. It's supposed to be an outpatient procedure. He's only supposed to be in the hospital for between 8 to 10 hours. So just pray for that whole situation there and his wife and that's all I got, I think, for now.
All right. We're in our 101 books, and we'll sing the very next song, number 53. introduced us to that song a few weeks ago. It's been a tremendous blessing to me. I hope it is to you. All right, for our last song before the special and the message, let's turn the page and we'll sing one of our favorites. Number 54, This World Is Not My Home. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please.
Just river that flows as clear as crystal. It comes from God's throne.
Forget, we got a thank you card from Ms. Gina. Thank you again. I enjoyed being with the children in Sunday school and sharing in the ministry during the Sunday morning service and spending time with the ladies. Thank you all for your prayers, support, and taking time with me or taking time out of your taking time to take me out to lunch. Your very generous love offering in his service, Gina Fry. So continue to pray for her and the ministry that she has to the children over there in Zambia, over there in Africa. Take your Bibles, if you will, this evening. We'll continue on here in our study in Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Take this off again. We're going to try to finish up here the latter part. There's two more things I want to talk about in verses 17 through 20 in chapter 2 in 1 Thessalonians. But the Bible says here in verse number 17 of chapter 2, it says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity tonight. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us back safely. I pray that you just lead God and direct your God. Clear my mind and my heart, Lord, and just give wisdom and guidance and direction, Lord, for the words to be spoken. Open our eyes, open our ears, that we would receive what you'd have us for to have this evening. Lord, all these prayer requests, Lord, I pray for those that are sick, Lord, and struggling with different issues, Father. I pray you meet them where they're at, Lord. That you would just draw an eye to him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says here in verse 17, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." You see Paul here and his heart and how he views the church. And I'm not on. You see Paul and how he views the church and the brethren, and his heart goes out to him, and he says here that even though he's taken from them for a short time in presence, it's not in heart. His heart is still there with those individuals, even though he's not there bodily in their presence. And he's saying that he endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. He had a desire to be around the brethren and be around believers that love God. You know, the Bible says in 1 John, one of the ways that we know we're saved is if we love the brethren. That's one of the ways you know you're saved. You say, well, I'm struggling with my salvation. Well, do you love the brethren? You see, it's amazing what God does with salvation. He's able to put something there that in most cases just doesn't happen. You can have people that are saved, that are believers from all nationalities, all cultures, all countries around the world. Yet if they're truly born again of God, they can meet and come together and instantly there's a connection. Instantly. You don't have to spend much time with them. You don't really have to know them much. All you know that they claim to be saved, they're a believer, and all of a sudden there's a connection there. And that's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul traveled all around Asia Minor, down there near Jerusalem. He traveled all over the place, but he had a connection and a heart's desire and love for the brethren. And we ought to have the same for one another. It ought to be there within your heart, not what you're doing, but God's put that in there for you to have a love for the brethren, the love for those that are saved and are in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I'm away, but I have a desire and I'm trying to endeavor to get to see you because I want to see you. You come to church, I come to church, I've told this before, number one, to worship God, but then also to see the brethren. Because you love one another, because you care for one another, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. The word endeavor means an effort, an attempt, an exertion of physical strength. Paul was trying, he was endeavoring to get back to see the brethren at Thessalonica. But as we read on here tonight, we're going to see that Satan hindered him. His desire was for the brethren, but Satan was hindering Paul to try to get back there to see those brothers and sisters in Christ. Take your Bible, look over at Acts chapter number 1 and verses 13 and 14. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says here, it says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simeon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. From the very beginning here, the starts of as a church is being birthed here and coming into existence, you see the brethren all saved coming together in one accord with prayers and supplications seeking God. Take your Bible and look over at chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Look down at verse number 42. Chapter 2, Acts 2, verse 42. Acts 2, 42. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Here again you see, they continued steadfastly. What? The church, those that were just saved, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayers. Look, I don't know about you through the week, but I'd rather have nothing but to spend time with brethren. I'm even talking through the week, and I think that's important.
I think it's important to try to set up and establish some way, somehow, at least once a month, to spend time outside of church with another brother or sister in Christ. It ought to be more than that. I'm just saying, just starting out. It's essential. We need one another. We need to be around one another. We need to fellowship one another. I think you just take just like the sign holding. It might be best just to see another brother or sister in Christ, not even think about holding up the sign, but to be there and encourage one another for that moment in time. You see that from the church. Look, there's something missing today, and I think it's a unity outside of the building. A lot of churches, people come to church, especially the bigger the church gets, I think the worse it gets. I think you're going to get more cliques and little groups here and there. And it's a disjointedness within a church when it gets really big. I don't think God ever established. Now, here you say, well, preacher, they got 3,000 souls saved. Yeah, well, we're going to start now. There's no way a pastor can take care of 3,000 people. You ain't going to see no shepherd out there on a hillside over there in England or Ireland, and he's got 3,000 sheep out there unless he's got some help and assistance. One man, there ain't no way. There's no way you can do it. It's impossible. I'm finding it hard here. And there's not a lot of people. This church isn't a very big church, but to have a touch with every individual in the church as one pastor, that's a busy thing. But I think it's needful because you see this principle here from the very beginning of the church of staying together in one accord and breaking of bread and of fellowship and being with one another other than just Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's essential. And I believe the closer a church draws together outside the walls, the stronger it will be when it comes together inside the walls. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like that. That's one of the things that stood out to me before I got saved, when the church I came out of, and I visited this tiny little church that if you looked on it on the outside, you'd say, that's a church. I'm going to try to get a picture of it. It didn't look like no church. I mean, it was tiny. It was probably half the size of this building. I mean, it was tiny. And you walked up in there, and it was so old that the flooring was uneven. You walked into the bathroom, and the bathroom went downhill. I'm serious. You walked into where the Sunday school room, and you were afraid the floor was going to fall through. Creaked, I mean, because it was an addition on to this old little house-looking building. But I'll tell you what, I've never felt the presence of God like walking in that little building. I walked in there and said, there's something here at this place. And it wasn't the building, it was the closeness and the unity of the people in the building. Now my pastor said this, and I agree, well, I'm not going to implement it, but I agree with his thought process on that. He said if God ever gave them a big building, what he would do is if the church wasn't as big as the building, he would cordon it off and make the people sit closer together instead of being spread out all over the place. Because you lose something. You lose something in the singing if everybody's spread all out over the place. But if you can bring everybody in close together and lift your voices to God, there's something in it. There's something about being close together with one another. It brings a fellowship, it brings a unity, and it brings a love for one another. It's needful. It's very needful. And you see this from the very beginning. Take your Bible, look over at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. Acts 20, verse number 7. Acts 20 and verse number 7. Look what the Bible says here. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. Acts 20 verse 7, the Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. You see that last part that says they weren't a little comforted. They received comfort. But look what they had to endure. Paul preached long preaching, the Bible says. Long preaching all night long. But God will get in it. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 4. Remember what we read there in Thessalonica, talking about how Paul desired, had a great desire to see the brethren there, and he endeavored to try to see them, yet the Bible says in the next verse that Satan hindered them. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 4. The Bible says here, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's saying here to those at Corinth, listen, when you're gathered together, my spirit is there with you with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't have to be present with them in order for his spirit to be present with them. And I think what's saying there is, listen, do things and act the right way as if I am there. But you see here, even in this situation, that Paul had a heart and a desire for all the churches that he'd gone to be with them. Take your Bible, look over at Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Hebrews 10, verse number 25. Familiar passage of Scripture, especially in these last days that we're living in. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Well, verse 24. Jump up to verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Hebrews 10, 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Do you see what's contained in those three verses there, verses 23, 24, and 25? The writer of Hebrews says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So what that tells me is that there is an opportunity that your faith can waver. But I think he gives us the key that keeps our faith from wavering is one of the keys is coming together and being around one another. Because he says in verse number 24, and let us consider one another for what purpose? To provoke unto love and to good works. We ought to provoke one another. Not in a bad way. Sometimes we provoke one another and it's not a good way. We don't like because somebody said something, somebody did this to me, somebody wasn't nice to me, blah, 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 blah. But if you're a strong Christian and you're a Christian that's got some growth to you, those offenses are going to come and they should roll off you like water off a duck's back. If you claim to be super spiritual, listen, then there ought not to be much that offends you. But sadly for most of us, there's a lot of things, little things that'll offend us. Well, they didn't say hi to me, or they didn't shake my hand, or they didn't give me a hug. That's a babe in Christ. It's a babe in Christ. We're to provoke one another to love and good works. So why should you be in church tonight? Why should you be in church? Every opportunity is to be in church. Because Paul, or the writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. For what purpose? That we can provoke one another to love and what else? Good works. Are you about good works? Now you read through your New Testament, it talks about good works, good works, good works, good works which accompany salvation. One of the ways you know you're saved is you ought to be about good works. You say, preacher, what are good works? I don't know. Get a hold of God and ask him to give you something to do. That's a good work. What are good works? It's doing something for somebody else. Doing something for somebody else. Making somebody a meal, praying for someone, writing someone a letter, giving somebody a phone call, doing something for someone else and getting out of you. That is a good work. And the Bible says we gather together to provoke one another to love, number one, and then number two, for good works. To love one another. To have charity with one another. You see, if we're concerned about how someone treats us or somebody does this, look, you're automatically quenching the spirit. Automatically. In order to have unity, close unity, charity is the bond of perfection. Charity brings that bond. It's that glue that's able to hold this whole thing together to where we go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Charity. Paul says here, look, though I'm absent, or in Hebrews here it says that let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then it says next, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. How should you do this? And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I believe, are we not closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ than when the book of Hebrews was written? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now I'm going to say this, and understand when I say this to a sense. It's important to be together with one another. And I believe the Bible gives a principle for the most part. Now, I believe there's situations and there's jobs to where it requires someone to be at a job 24/7. You take a nurse, or you take a doctor or a hospital. That's a type of job to where you got to have, especially if there's patients there, you got to have care 24/7, 365. You take a firefighter, you take a police officer. There are certain jobs out there that have to run 24/7, 365. It has to be that way. But then there's other jobs out there that don't run 24/7, 365 and don't need to run 24/7, 365 when it comes to the things of God. Now I'm going to be careful with what I say this, and I pray you take it in the right way. I pray you take it in the right way. But I left some very good jobs in order to be in church all the time. I left some jobs to where I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go paint the yellow around Sonic Drive-In in order to be able to do the things that I was doing for the Lord. Get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, go to Sonic and paint the little yellow bumper or whatever you want to call it in order for me to be able to be in church. Now I want you to take this for what it is. But if we put a job before church, if we put a job before church and God's not in it, it's going to cause problems and it's going to cause issues. So you say, preacher, what do? You pray and you ask God and make sure that the Lord's allowing and giving liberty in that thing, and you not rather doing it because it's providing for you. You say, preacher, what do? You get alone with God and ask Him. And I believe He'll show you. But the Bible says, look, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another to so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I believe we're a lot closer than whoever wrote Hebrews is right now where we're facing things. And I say that to say this, that we need one another. We need to be around one another. We need to hold each other accountable. There needs to be unity, love. Why? So that we stay faithful and our faith doesn't waver and we fall and drift away from the things of God. Church is important. Church is very important. I tried to hammer that home in my kids' heads and hearts. If the doors are open, you need to be there. And you do what you got to do to be in church. You say, well, preacher, and I've told some people this week. I said, you find out where God wants you to be and you dive in head first. Find out. Look, I believe this. I believe if you're saved, there's a church you're supposed to be a part of. And not only be a part of it, you ought to dive in with all you got. Wherever that church may be, get there and get in and start working for the Lord. Say, well, preacher, I'm struggling with this and I'm going through this and I'm going through that. But how much emphasis are you showing towards the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't say these things lightly tonight. I say them very circumspectly. But sometimes we put other things in front of God because we think that they're more important to God. Though we never would say that, our actions show so. Do you understand? I would rather go without. I would rather get a smaller house. I would rather move into a trailer or something I have if I could be more faithful and into the things of God in that church. And that's a right attitude to have. I would rather go to where I have less but have God than have more and just be making it. Do you understand what I'm saying? This will help you if you desire help. Not forsaking, and this is not for preacher. This is not for me. And I don't know why I've been on this kick the last couple weeks and in my mind, but church is important. Church, with everything that ever, there's a lot of people that got a lot of things going on right now. And the devil would like nothing more than to keep you out of church, to keep you away from the brethren, and to isolate you. The early church had something. The early church had power with God. And I'm not talking about the signs and the wonders and what the apostles could do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they had a close walk with God and with one another, and they were able to turn the world upside down with that. We've lost something today. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Look what the Bible says here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, Ephesians 4, 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we hence, look at verse 14 now, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you see those verses? There's a lot there in verse number 16. But what it's saying is the body needs the whole body. I talked about this last week. We need one another. It does no good if the ear doesn't show up to church. We all, everybody that's a member of Ray Street Baptist Church plays an integral part in the church. Every single individual. And if part of that church, if part of that body, part of that body is missing, it hurts and it affects the other members. It does. I've had people come up to me and say, "Do you know where this individual is at? Do you know where they're at? Do you know if they're coming?" Because they care. Because we care for one another. A body needs the whole body. If the toe gets smashed, the rest of the body knows that the toe is smashed. And all attention immediately goes to the toe. If you drop something on your foot, well, Brother Brian, you fell the other day, you hurt your arm. Immediately, your whole body's like checking the arm out, checking the wrist out, checking the pinky out, making sure it's not broken. The eyes are looking at it. The ear heard the pop. Listen, the other hand's trying to hold it and feel it, look at it. And if you needed help because it was bad, your feet would take you there. Your whole body would work together to get your hand to need it help it need if it was pretty bad. Thank the Lord it wasn't. That's the same way a church operates. If someone's hurting, someone's going through something, all the attention all the focus of the body should be in trying to help that individual or individuals in what they're going through because of what they're facing. That's how a body works physically, and that's how a body ought to work as a church. We're here for one another. We're to be a part of one another. But if we stay in our own worlds, how is anybody going to get any help? Does it make sense? So, Ephesians says that the body in verse 16 needs itself for love, edifying itself in love. We need to edify one another. Now, the problem comes in verse number 18 of 1 Thessalonians. Look back over there real quick this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18. Look what happens next, though. So Paul has this great desire to be with the brethren. He's endeavoring the more abundantly to see their faces because he loves them, because he cares for them, because he wants to spend time with them. But look what happens in verse number 18. Wherefore, because of what he's written before in the previous verses, he says, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan was trying to prohibit Paul from getting to the brethren at Thessalonica in order to be a help to them. Satan will hinder. Take your Bible, look over at Zechariah chapter 3 and verse number 1. Satan will try to get in, or devils will try to get in and disrupt the work of God. Zechariah chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Zechariah 3 verse 1. I believe this is a picture of a Christian when he gets saved. We're not going to look at that this evening. But you see here in Zechariah chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And look what this says. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. You want to talk about some boldness. Here you have the angel of the Lord, but you got Satan right there, and he's trying to resist him. Look at verse 2. And look what the Bible says here. And the Lord said unto Satan, not Joshua, the high priest, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. You see here a picture of what happens in the heavenlies of Satan trying to resist, trying to hinder, trying to stop what God's trying to do. Take your Bible, look over at Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 22. Satan hindered us. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 22. Romans 15 verse number 22. Paul talking, this is the second time he mentions it in Romans. He mentions it in the first or second chapter. But he says here in the latter chapters of chapter 15, verse 22, he says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. He was desiring to go to the church there at Rome, and he was much hindered. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 13. This thing of being hindered, Satan hindering the work of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verse number 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. That means don't be surprised. Don't let this jump off the page. He says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, because of these things in verses 13 and 14, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You want to know another way that Satan hinders? He transforms himself into an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Well, how do you know the difference? How do you know if someone's a minister of righteousness and they're of God, or they appear to be a minister of righteousness and it's one of Satan's devils? How do you know the difference between the two? You spend time in the scriptures. You spend time in the scriptures. You spend time in the Word of God. How did the Old Testament saints know if a prophet was from God or a false prophet? A false prophet, often there would be signs in that false prophet's life that went against what God had already established in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What God had already put forth, the scriptures in the Old Testament, they had something to base it off of, and if they went astray from what God had said and set up in His Word, they knew it was a false prophet. Well, listen, the Bible says we're to try the spirits. We're to try the spirits. So if you were ever in a church ever and you got questions, ask the pastor, ask the preacher, and see if it lines up with the Bible. That's why I'm trying to encourage everybody that comes in this church, have a Bible, have it open, study it, read it, know it, so that you can pick up on things that may not sound right or are red flags, and you're not deceived, because the devil will try to hinder. The devil will try to break up what God's trying to do, almost to the point where the Bible says here, it does say, that he'll transform himself into an angel of light and ministers of righteousness. The last thing I want to finish up with this evening, it says in verse number 19, as Paul talks lastly here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to finish this last verse, verse 19. He says, Satan hindered us in verse 18. He has a desire to try to see them. He's trying to get to them. But then he says this in verses 19 and 20. Paul says, I tried to get to you. Satan's hindering us. But then he says in verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? He says, for what is our hope, or what is our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul takes happiness, Paul takes joy, Paul rejoices in the fact that even though he might not be able to get there to see them, and he's being hindered to try to come and spend time with them, he knows that if they're called home to heaven someday, they will be together as they pass through the clouds to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? The question tonight is this: will you be in the presence of the Lord at his coming? Look down at chapter 3 and verse number 9. Same book, 1 Thessalonians. But look at verse number 9 in chapter 3. Look what Paul says again to these brethren. He says, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. Brethren, do you see how he keeps repeating the same things over and over again? We're into the next chapter, and it's almost the same thing he's saying in chapter 2. To me, that means it's pretty important. You say, well, preacher, I'm getting tired of hearing this. Well, Paul keeps saying it. Sometimes I think, I'm not talking about the church or the brethren here. I'm just talking about Christianity as a whole. Sometimes I think we put the emphasis on the wrong things. Paul, again, brethren, we're not even in, it seems like I'm reading the same thing that I just read to you in verses 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 in chapter 2. Look what he says again here. Verse number 10 in chapter 3. Night and day praying exceedingly. What is he praying for? He's praying that he might see their face, that he might perfect that which is lacking in their faith. I just paraphrased it. Verse number 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And not only to one another, he says, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. For what purpose, Paul? Verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. Look at this again. For what purpose? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. It's like this last part of chapter 2. Paul had a desire for the brethren. And it's the same desire I have for this church, and I pray that I keep it, is that we'll be unblameable, holy, without spot, without blemish, no wrinkles in our garments when we get called home someday into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for all the brethren. I'm not talking about you losing your salvation. I'm talking about your wedding garment. I'm talking about your faith not wavering as the days get darker. It's, Brother Glenn, we were talking. I don't think it's going to get better, brethren. I really don't think it's going to get better out here in society and with our government and everything we're facing. I just don't think it's going to get better. Actually, I believe what you said, Brother Glenn. I believe the United States has to be taken off the map in order to bring this new world order in. I think we're the last peg that's holding everything up like that. The game Jenga that you play where you pull out the little pieces and then you pull out the last one and the whole thing falls over. I think the U.S. is that last little piece. I think God has used the U.S. to keep this thing together worldwide. For his purposes, and I think the main purpose, I believe, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But once the church drops that, and the Lord says, I'm done, that last piece is coming out, and this whole thing's tumbling. Yes, you see, they can't put into practice in what they want till we're out of the way. The United States is the only thing keeping this thing together. Brethren, there's stuff going on all over the world right now. All over the world. Election. Look, the United States is not the only one with election fraud. Peru have an election fraud. Israel have an election fraud. Venezuela have an election fraud. Dominican Republic have an election fraud. Haiti have an election fraud. There's something going on worldwide. But it has to happen in order to bring the new world order in. And I think the United States, God using the United States, to me, I believe the United States is the only thing right now, because of God, keeping this thing from completely falling apart. If this nation goes down, the whole world goes down. And China and Russia, they know it. God's blessed this country. But listen to me, brethren, the blessing is not for us to live in comfort and ease. Listen, understand what I'm saying this evening. I'm not saying go home and sell everything you got. What I'm saying is that the mindset would be in the right focus. Your eyes would be on the right focus of serving the Lord Jesus Christ with a little bit of time we got left. I'm not saying go home and get rid of everything and live like a hermit and go up into a mountain somewhere and not talk to nobody no more. And get your peanut butter and your tuna fish and your guns and go hide out in a cave. I'm not saying that. That's not the job of a Christian. Brother Glenn, no. I'm blessed messing with you, brother. No. Seriously, though. A lot of Christians want to do that. Well, I'm going to stock up. I'm going to go join a militia. We're going to fight this. You ain't fighting this thing off. Come on, man. Brother Glenn, you were in the you're a Marine Corps. They drop up. They put up an Apache helicopter. They'll take us out in a second. I mean, they got stuff now. You ain't hiding. You ain't running unless God keeps you hidden. But you see, that's what you want. You want to be with God. Because if God's on your side, I don't care what kind of technology you got, you won't see it. You won't see it. God can blind the eyes of individuals where something can be right in front of them and they don't see it. But that takes power with God. If you ever get a chance, I don't know if that book's downstairs. I think I did see it downstairs. Brother Andrew, if you never read it, read it. Wonderful book. A man that had a walk with God, and he would smuggle Bibles into communist countries over there when they were going through communism. He would put piles of Bibles in the back of his little VW. I think he had a VW bug or something. His story is something else. One time he forgot to cover them up or something. He came up to a guard shack. The guards looked up, looked in, flipped stuff around, looked. I mean, they were looking right at the Bibles. All right, go on through. He said he was sweating. He was like, oh, I'm in trouble now. It's over now. Go on through. Do you see? It's what God can do for us. But we got to have that close walk with Him. Amen. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, God says. It's not our intellect, it's not our thinking that's going to get us through the dark days that might come. It's our walk with Jesus Christ and our unity together as believers. Do you see? And Paul knew that, Paul recognized that, and though Satan hindered him, God was still able to work through there. And you see the same emphasis in chapter 3. And we're going to have to go through it as we go through 1 Thessalonians. So I'm going to sound like a broken record. But listen, we need verse number 3 of chapter 13. Or chapter 3 verse 13. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. When? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Flip over to chapter 5, same book. Look at verse number 23. So in chapter 2, verse 19, the latter part of chapter 2, latter part of verse 19, it says, "And are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming." Then chapter 3, verse 13, you have "at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints." And then in chapter 5, verse 23, you have this: "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. We need to be prepared and we need to be ready because we don't know when it's going to occur. It could happen tonight on the way home. It could happen tonight. We're driving home. Boom, we're out of here. We're going home to glory. It could happen Friday this week at 5 o'clock. We could be doing something immediately. Twinkling of an eye. Boom, gone. In the presence of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're saved, that's where your eyesight ought to be focused on. The clouds. Someday He's coming back through there. Someday He's coming back and He's calling me home. Let's be ready for it. Let's be ready for it. The last verse this evening, and then we'll pray and close up. Titus chapter 2, very familiar. One of the verses we were memorizing before we went into the little red book. Titus chapter 2, and look at verse number 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. Paul writing to Titus, and he says this. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." For what purpose, Paul? "Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live" what? "Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people." There's those words again. "Zealous of" what? "Good works." These things, look what He's telling Titus to do. He's telling Titus what to preach. He says, "Titus, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Titus, no matter what man says to thee, no matter how many men despise you, you preach these things, you speak them, you exhort them, and you rebuke them with all authority. Why? For what purpose, Titus? So that when Jesus Christ comes back, their wedding garments might not be defiled. That's a preacher's job. That's a pastor's job. To keep the saints and their eyesights focused on what matters, for the sake of when Jesus comes back, He can look at you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It was worth it all." You know the hymn? "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." Look, soon as that thing, look, get me, I'm almost done. I'm a little excited right now, but listen. Soon as that crossing takes place, boom, you're gone. You ain't caring about what's left down here. You ain't saying, "Well, hang on, time out a second, God, I got to grab those shoes I really like." You ain't worrying about those shoes. You got a whole new garment set up there, brothers and sisters. So why are we worried about it now? Now, I'm not saying you can't listen. I understand my point tonight. Don't go out here and say, what a preacher says, I can never buy a new pair of shoes that I like. I'm not saying that. Unless that's your issue. No, Sister Erica, I appreciate it. The other day we were doing sign hole and she come out, her shoes matched the sign. And the sign was fluorescent green. I looked down, she's like, check this out. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Your Nikes match the sign. Understand what I'm saying. Please understand what I'm saying. There's things I like to get. There's things I like to wear. There's certain things I like. But where's the heart? Do you understand? Do you understand? Where's the heart? When you got preachers saying you can't do this and you can't do this and you got this check. No. Where's the heart? I like playing basketball. I like basketball shoes. But that's not where my heart's at. Do you understand? It's where's the heart? God's given us all things here to richly and to enjoy. There's things to enjoy while we live this life. But the whole time we're enjoying what God's given us, our focus should still be on Him and our thoughts on how we can please Him and be about His business, accomplishing good works for His name's sake. And then what little ice cream that comes across our path with a cherry on top, enjoy it. But don't let your heart get settled on it. Does that make sense? If your heart is attached to it and its claws are into it, then that's a problem. You need to hold everything in this life with a loose grip so that when He comes, you can just drop it and go. Does it make sense? Looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I wanted to add this in real quick. I said that was the last verse, but the last verse I want to look at is James chapter 4. To answer this last question that I'm going to put forth to you tonight. I think it's, James, hang on one second there. James chapter, hang on one second. Rather, flip over to Philippians. Flip over to Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 7. This will get it done right here. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. I want to close with this with you. I talked about Satan hindering us and how this is just one of the ways. Do you know the difference between Satan hindering you or God preventing you from trying to do something? Well, look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God, the Lord, God keeps our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, but it's kept through peace that only God can provide. Now look, if it's coming from God and it's God's in it, it's going to be peaceable. Right? If it's coming from Satan or the enemy, it's going to agitate you. It's going to have a wrong spirit behind it. When God deals with you and God moves and God works and God's trying to direct you in a different path or a different way, it's peaceable. It's peaceable. In Proverbs, it talks about wisdom and how her ways are peaceable. God's ways are peaceable. So if you're trying to discern, okay, is this God trying to give me a red light on this thing or is this Satan trying to hinder what we're trying to do? If it's God trying to say, no, you might not want to go do this right now. Let's go a different way with this. Because the Holy Spirit didn't allow Paul to go into certain places sometimes. But yet Paul says here in Thessalonica that Satan hindered him. So which one's saying you shouldn't go or I'm stopping you from going? Is it peaceable? If it's peaceable, chances are that God's trying to just direct you a different way. But if it's causing agitation and irritation and just doesn't, it's probably the devil trying to keep you back from doing something that God's in. Again, it's all about walking with the Lord. It's all about knowing the Bible. It's all about having that close relationship with Jesus Christ and having that walk with Him. But that only comes about by spending time with Him. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, what it'll keep, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You want to have that peace in mind and heart and the direction from the Lord? Spend your time with those things listed in verse number 8, and I believe God will give you direction. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity again this evening. Thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, help us to glean something from it. Lord, help us to be about your business. Help us to be about good works. Help us, Lord, to be ready for your coming at any moment. Lord, help us to keep our focus, our minds, and our heart set on thee. And Lord Jesus, help this church, help the brethren through this week. Lord, if you should tarry, those that got to go to work, those that got to travel, those that have things they got to get done, Lord, those that have to go to hospital and doctor's appointments, Lord, I pray you'd be with them all. Pray you'd strengthen and encourage us, Lord. Help us to love you more in these last days that we're living in. Lord, help our faith not to waver, but help us to be about your business. Lord, we love you, and we just thank you for it, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. I appreciate you, love you, and I believe there's some things downstairs for us to enjoy. Amen.